Just like the song says, let's start at the very beginning. We're going to begin creating our plan to raise healthy, stable dogs during the prenatal period, which covers our pups' lives from conception until whelping. Our plan's first foundation is the breeding stock our pups come from. Sometimes the dogs make their own mating choices, particularly with street or roaming dogs, but also with what are known as oops breedings. And sometimes people make the decisions about which dogs should be mated based on a wide array of criteria, from looks to specific talent. Let's start with mothers. Although dams provide 50% of our puppies' genetic material, their influence goes far beyond that because they raise the puppies. We're going to talk later about the wide-ranging effects that mothering has on pups, but it's quite profound and long-lasting. So moms matter a lot. But sires are also very important. In domestic dogs, fathers don't help raise puppies, but they do provide 50% of our pups' genetic material, possibly more. Wait a minute. How can they provide more? Well, a 2015 study released in Nature Genetics found that mammals express more genetic variants from their father than their mother. So they use more of the DNA they inherit from their dads. Pretty remarkable stuff. If you want to read more, check out this module's additional resource section for the actual article and a discussion of it. And more we're realizing that transgenerational influences are greater than we once knew. Health and temperament, including things like phobias and fears, may be passed on through more than the genes our puppies inherit. Dogs and horse people have thought for generations that pedigrees and specific matings were important, and they were right. Now let's focus more specifically on dog moms. The care our bitches receive before whelping can affect their pups for life. First, there's nutrition. What we feed our pregnant bitches matters a lot to a pup's developing body, including its immune system, brain, and nervous system. Then there's the condition of the dam, how fit she is, how much she weighs. Physical condition contributes in the short term to easier whelpings, but it likely has long-term effects on the pup's learning ability and trainability. We can't leave out the stress she feels, such as when we fly her for a breeding or take her to the vet repeatedly for blood draws if that's something that bothers her. Prenatal stress on pups before they are born, has short and long-term effects on them. Touch is so important to dogs that petting your dam has a positive physical and mental effect on puppies, assuming, of course, that your bitch likes to be petted. And finally, enrichment such as work and activity is very important, more so than just physical condition. The activities the dam participates in, including sounds, smells, and movement, affect her puppies. There's an old saying among hunters that if you want to produce great hunting dogs, hunt your bitches while they're pregnant. While recent research on mice shows that pups of mothers that were taught a maze while pregnant learn that maze much quicker than pups whose mothers were not taught the maze. So those old hunting guys just may be right. Now, how can what we do with a bitch while she's pregnant have such a great influence on our puppies? In a word, epigenetics. Epi means above in Greek, so epigenetics is above genetics. Epigenetics is a new science focused on genetic control by factors other than DNA, usually by the environment. Our first clue to epigenetics was radiation, and we began to see how radiation could change a person's DNA. That's an epigenetic influence. Certainly that's pretty interesting, but the full impact of epigenetics is even cooler than that, because many of these changes can be passed on to an animal's or a person's kids and grandkids. So not only do we have to consider genetics in dog breeding, but we have to consider epigenetic influences. So epigenetics can be pretty confusing. Here's an analogy that helps me understand the relationship between genetics and epigenetics. Let's think of our dog's lifespan as a full-length movie. The cells that make up your dog are the actors and actresses, the essential units that make the movie. Your dog's entire DNA, in turn, is the screenplay, the instructions to all the participants of the movie about how and when to perform their roles. So your dog's DNA sequences are the words in the script, and certain blocks of these words that instruct key events to take place would be the genes. So genetics would be the screenwriting that created the words in the script. Okay, so what's epigenetics? Well, it's the directing. two different directors, Steven Spielberg and Woody Allen, with the same actors and the same screenplay, would create two very different movies. So what does this mean for us as dog breeders? Well, here's a recent finding. Genetic differences alone, genes and DNA, explain no more than 25% of the variation between newborn human babies. But the interaction of those genetic differences and the prenatal environment explain the remaining 75%. The prenatal environment, the mother's habits, whether she smoked or not, her stress levels, whether she was depressed or not, intersected with the baby's genetics to account for 3/4 of the differences between newborns. But since epigenetics is in its infancy, it's so young that we don't even know what we don't know about it. Thus, we have to pull together research from many species to give us some idea of how we should think about environmental effects on our dogs. In the rest of this module, we'll be looking at humans today and in the past. We'll be drawing on experiments with mice and rats, primates and fruit flies, as well as livestock, all to draw a picture of how the environment before and after birth might be affecting the lives of our dogs. Let's look more closely at the kind of impacts epigenetics has.
We're all familiar with the idea of inheritance and DNA. We're all familiar with the idea that the environment affects the development of the child. What we now realize is that these two are much more intertwined than we've known before, that the environment actually affects the DNA. This is the new exciting science of epigenetics.
The mice are agouti mice. One is kind of really much bigger and yellow, and the other one's much smaller and brown. Neither have a disease. They're the same species, but obviously they look really different. They've got the same DNA. They are genetically identical, so there's no reason genetically why they should have these differences.
Well, what we now realise is that changes to the DNA are possible, so-called epigenetic changes. That means on top of genetics.
The DNA has the instructions for how we function and how we're going to develop. But the epigenetics will change whether or not it's read and how it's read. So typically when we think of DNA, we think of a double helix, but actually DNA is tightly coiled around proteins called histones, and depending on the spacing between these histone proteins, that will determine whether or not the machinery that's going to read the DNA is able to access it. So obviously if you've got really nice spacing, the DNA in between the histones is able to be read. But if it's bunched together, you just can't get at it, and there's no way that the machinery can read the DNA and interpret the instructions that it contains.
What happens is that new chemical groups are added to the DNA, and these control whether the gene is turned on or off, or if it's turned on, how much it's turned on.
Methyl group sits on the DNA and essentially blocks it from being read so that the gene is inactive. The only difference is what their mothers ate during pregnancy. If you feed the pregnant mother mouse a normal diet, then the gene which is responsible for the yellow coat colour, that's still switched on and being read. But if you feed the pregnant mother mouse a diet rich in supplements, which have lots of methyl donors, which block this gene from being red. That means that it has the brown colour, and it's much leaner, and it's less likely to suffer from things like diabetes, obesity, and cancer.
Epigenetics is still quite a young science, and there's a lot we don't understand about it. But we do understand that these marks to the DNA can last right through a person's lifetime. It's not nature or nurture, it's nurture affecting nature in a way that we're starting to understand at the molecular level.
Genetics is not all of the story in terms of how a child will develop. Environmental influences can affect how the baby develops in the womb via epigenetic changes. and can therefore change what will happen to that child in adulthood.
The actual structure of the brain can be altered by the environment in the womb, and the environment in the womb can in turn be affected by the mother's chemistry. So if her stress hormones go up, for example, this can increase the risk of her child having problems later.
Because we now know that the time in the womb is so important, it would suggest that we really need to take care of our pregnant mums in order to take care of the future babies.
So cloned mice, raised in the same cages, fed the same food, not only look completely different, but have different rates of obesity, diabetes, and cancer, solely because of what their mothers were fed in pregnancy. Wow. As we're learning, epigenetic influences come down both sides of a pedigree. Mothers and grandmothers have certain effects, grandfathers and fathers have other influences. What these dogs ate, who they were, the medical care they got, how they lived, and if their lives were enriched, has changed how their genes were expressed. And many of those changes are passed on to their offspring and their offspring's offspring. So what's the challenge for dog breeders and owners? Well, let's take a look at this family. Here's Grandpa, here are his kids, here are his grandkids. Well, if we think about it, we simply may not have all of that information far enough back, or if it even exists, it's probably sitting in folders in someone's file cabinet. So epigenetics should push us to gather even more information into public databases so future owners and breeders can find and use it. Let's take a look at the 8 kinds of prenatal epigenetic influences that we're going to discuss in the remainder of Module 3. We'll start with parents' age and life experiences. Then we'll discuss the stress the dam experiences during pregnancy. We'll look at how fears might be inherited, and we'll go into some detail on prenatal nutrition and its many effects on puppies. We'll talk about the dam's physical condition, how the pups are born, either naturally or C-section, and finally we'll talk about toxins that we need to be aware of during a bitch's pregnancy.